Mario, thanks for being with McLean's on the Hill. Good of you to join us.
It's my pleasure, John.
You've got some interesting numbers for us from your latest Insights West poll. Can I just ask the very top line thing? We wonder, especially at the sort of midpoint in the Liberal mandate, about what people are thinking about Justin Trudeau. How do you think he's being perceived? What are the sort of big numbers on how Justin Trudeau is seen by Canadians just now?
Well, I think the biggest change, especially when we look at some of the way in which other prime ministers have done when it comes to representing Canada internationally, is that Justin Trudeau is way ahead of those numbers. We never saw anything like this for Stephen Harper. We never saw anything like this for Paul Martin or for Jean Chrétien, for that matter. The way in which Canadians are reacting to Trudeau internationally, partly it has to do with the fact that he's not particularly surrounded at the G8 level, if you will, by politicians who are particularly popular. I mean, Donald Trump is not liked in Canada. Similar situation when it comes to other world leaders at this stage. And you know, he's being received very warmly in all of the countries that he's visiting. There's definitely an aura of invincibility when he's out representing Canada. But that's not necessarily the case when we're looking at some other things. So it's kind of interesting to look at Canadians really judging the Liberals harshly on issues such as the economy and jobs or other things, but looking at Justin Trudeau as a person that they like to be their own representative internationally.
That's fascinating, and so it's interesting that so when he appears on the international stage, sometimes we think it's people in the media, people who are very interested, who are focusing on how he's perceived. But you're saying no, Canadians in general are responding positively, thinking, hey, he makes us look good when he's abroad somewhere.
Well, it's very rare for a federal government to be at a situation where two-thirds of Canadians agree with something they're doing. And this is what we see when we ask people, have the Liberals and Justin Trudeau have done a good job representing Canada internationally? And it's 67%. I mean, those are obscenely high numbers. There's very rarely governments that, you know, get after the 50 or 55% mark when it comes to something like this. And to have them at 67% shows that even people who won't vote Liberal because they don't like what they're doing on other things, are looking at him and saying, you know, I may disagree with some policies that he has, but I think he's doing a good job representing us.
So interesting. So since we've talked a bit about this area where he's scoring high, why don't we do look at the flip side? Where are the areas where the Liberals or Mr. Trudeau himself look more vulnerable?
Well, there's definitely three issues where they haven't connected very well. One of them is a high level of dissatisfaction with abandoning electoral reform. This is coming mostly from people who voted for the Liberals and were previously voters for the NDP and the Greens, or even people who voted for the NDP and the Greens who were expecting something different, maybe a system that would allow them to have more seats. And there's a little sense of dissatisfaction on that file. But the other two that are quite troubling is the fact that even though he's been seen as a great representative for Canada, he hasn't really dealt with the situation related to drug abuse and fentanyl as well as most people wanted it to be. So that's the second lowest mark for the Liberals as far as the decisions that they've taken. And the other one is spending pipeline projects. So people in Alberta dissatisfied with the decisions that were taken out east, people in BC dissatisfied with the decisions that were taken out west. It seems to be a file in which no matter what they do, it's impossible to please everybody.
Only 20, if I'm looking at your numbers, only 29% liking the government's efforts on dealing with pipeline projects. Mayor, does that cut both ways? Some people liking thinking they're not doing enough to get them approved, and others people thinking they're doing too much to get them approved. Is that how that you get to that number, or?
It's definitely part of it because we do see it as a situation that is affecting. If you're a Green voter, if you're an NDP voter, you're more likely to say, don't do anything. And if you're conservative, you're more likely to say you should be doing more. So I think it's definitely difficult at this stage. I mean, you have 52% of Canadians who are saying they're doing a bad job on this particular file. So it's one of the highest numbers, but it comes from everywhere. You have 77% of conservative voters saying you should be doing more, and 60% of NDP voters saying you should be doing less. So no matter where he moves, it's going to be very difficult to get those numbers to flow.
It's interesting that we're talking about this at the midpoint of the government, but also at a point where there's still a relatively new Conservative leader and a very new NDP leader. How do you see the opposition leaders figuring in the mix here?
Well, now is the first opportunity we really have to test how things are going. And, you know, we were very hesitant a year ago, a year and a half ago, to be asking voting questions, because without a full-time leader for the other two parties, it seemed like a waste of time. And what's interesting to see here is there's not a lot of animosity towards either of them. The level of disapproval for Jagmeet Singh is 27%. The level of disapproval for Andrew Scheer is 35%. You still have a lot of undecideds on both, but they're definitely trying to connect and doing a good job connecting with the basis of their two particular parties. So there's definitely room for growth. There's still many undecideds,
Just
but
so,
it's a better situation.
Mary, just so I make sure I understand that, you say those are relatively low disapproval numbers for the two opposition leaders, and what that says to you is they have room for growth. They haven't alienated large swaths of the electorate, that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's definitely a chance. I mean, looking at Singh, for instance, he's more likely to be well known in Ontario. He served as a member of the Ontario Parliament. It's a very complex matter in that sense, for him to be well known in other areas. He did campaign with some NDP candidates provincially in BC, so he has a higher profile here than in other places. But there's definitely room for growth, especially if you're one of those voters who voted strategically in the last election. If you're more likely to be an NDP voter from the Layton era who decided to vote Liberal because you wanted to get rid of the Stephen Harper government, you might be more likely to come back into the fold if you have a leader like Singh.
So interesting. Mario, you asked this interesting question about which I would call kind of buyer's remorse question, where you asked people if they were who had voted for the Liberals, were they glad that they voted that way or not? It's not a typical kind of question we see. How do you read the answers that you got there?
Well, you have 18% of voters in the 2015 federal election who say that they regret their vote. And what's interesting to
That's
me
sort
is,
of in all parties, eh? Right.
in all parties, yes.
Yeah.
But for liberal voters, it goes all the way to 24%. So you have essentially one out of four voters for the Liberal Party having buyer's remorse. And most of them are in Quebec. And I think that may have a little bit to do with the fact that they wanted to choose somebody who was different. And now, essentially, he's going to be the only Quebecer in the race, because the leaders for the other parties are coming from other areas. So it's quite intense to look at it from that standpoint and see that there's a lot of liberal voters within Quebec who might be having second thoughts about what they choose and how they want to go on with this. It's also interesting to look at the fact that it's the middle age bracket that is more likely to be dissatisfied. The younger population, the 18 to 34s, tend to go for Greens or the NDP and are happy with their choices, and the over 55s tend to be more conservative. So it's essentially Generation X, which is saying, well, did we make the right choice here? Or is this something that we need to correct in the next election?
That is interesting. There was so much interest after the last election in the spike in younger voters turnout, which was attributed to largely to Justin Trudeau making the election more interesting for young people. But now we think about, people who voted last time and what their maybe their first time voting, they were young voters, and whether they'll A, come to the polls again, and whether they come to the polls in the same spirit they came last time or with some, a different attitude.
Well, it's a very difficult situation because, you know, when you have a candidate who has been inspiring, and I think I can go back to the example of Barack Obama in the United States, 2008 election, they won in places where they didn't expect it. He wins the state of Indiana, which had gone Republican for many elections in a row. And now you have a situation where in the next election where he faced Mitt Romney, they lost a few of those states, and he definitely had a lower number of votes going his way. So it's going to be tougher for Trudeau to try to recreate that magic when he's been in government for 4 years.
Still, I think if you're going to make the Obama comparison, I'm going to guess the people around Justin Trudeau would be happy to hear that made. Obama did win twice, right? And that's what they
Absolutely.
that's the name of the game. Mary, is there anything we haven't touched on from the poll that you were eager to talk about? I'm thinking we've covered a lot of ground here.
Well, looking at the voting numbers, it's interesting because we don't really see the Liberals way ahead. I mean, they're at 35% when you factor in decided voters. Conservatives are 33%, each of them holding on to the base of support. I think there's a good news story for the NDP at 20% and climbing the charts with younger voters. So there's definitely a little bit of that competition for the millennial vote between the Liberals and the NDP, which we didn't really see in the final stages of the last election. I think a lot of people who are looking at the NDP as an option decided to choose Trudeau because they looked at it as the better vehicle to get a non-conservative government in Ottawa. So there's definitely room for growth for all of these parties it's ultimately a question of where you are going to be putting those resources and the kind of situation that you can have locally. I mean, the Liberals at 41% in BC is huge. They got 35% of the vote the last time around. So maybe those concerns about losing votes here because of the situation with pipelines are not happening as quickly as some people expected.
Fascinating. Mario Canseco from Insights West. Thanks a lot for talking to us. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.